Obviously, if you cannot just make bad karma go away, other than the stages of enlightenment, that actually cuts it out with the power of insight. And the moment you realize stream entry into the Dhamma eye, arising, the vision of Dhamma arising, the Dhamma chakku, that means that any karma which would get you below the human rebirth, or even into a bad human rebirth, that is kind of eliminated. And the next stage, Sakadagami, once returner, that means that any karma that would get you back to a material body more than once is gone. And for the Anagami, any karma that would get you into a material world is gone. And for the Arahant, any karma after the moment of death would be eliminated. Other than that, you can't take it fully away, but the famous simile is good karma is fresh, clean drinking water, and bad karma is salt. And then it mixes, and then drinking it, this karma vipaka, experiencing your karma. And depending on the proportions, if you have only one cup of nice spring water, and then you put 3 tablespoons of salt, it will be a very unpleasant experience. It's almost impossible to drink. You may vomit. So, but what do we do now? I have got this cup of water maybe, and I've gotten 3 or 5 tablespoons of salt in there. What do I do now? Exactly. The diluting. So you can't really take it away completely. Although nowadays you could with reverse osmosis, but in the simile, with your hands or something, you can't do it. So what we can do is, the first thing is actually not making more bad karma, because if you put more salt, it gets even worse. But exactly as you said, we have to put more fresh water, more good karma. Yeah, and as you said, we still have this bathing tub in the one lady's toilet, was it? No, in the monk's toilet, is it now? If you go to the monk's toilet, and there's still the bathing tub in there. And if you have even 5 fully heaped tablespoons of salt in a whole bathing tub, you probably can still taste some salt. But it becomes already manageable to drink. And if you have 5 heaped tablespoons of salt in Lake Manchester or Lake Wivenhoe, you wouldn't even notice it. So that's the way to go. You just have to kind of dilute it with good karma. And then you can have amazing effects. And even if you have a really bad karma from killing, and you may be reborn normally in the Peta world, even in hell, and then you make so much good karma, and then maybe you just have a day of a headache or 2 weeks of a bad flu because it's diluted by now. And then the 2 weeks of bad flu they have is a result of some really severe bad karma, but in that diluted form. And once you have experienced that, then it's gone. Another simile the Buddha gave, quite appropriately acknowledging the human realities and the corruption which they have nowadays, but which they also had in the Buddha's time. Imagine if you are having drug offenses and do some other bad things, and then the police charges you and you get sued and so on. Or maybe Joe Biden's son is having some drug offenses and some other things and he is getting sued. Will that be the same outcome? Probably not, ne? Because the guy with the connections, he will usually be able to get out if someone is really rich or really powerful and then all these kind of people. I remember some time ago one billionaire stated that the legal system in the US is really good if you're a billionaire. He said then it really works for you. And he said, even if you're a multimillionaire, it's not good enough. If you have, say, 50 million, you can't fully leverage the US legal system. You need more than that. But if you have more than that, then you can just do it. It'll be fine. So similar, even if you have done something really bad, your good karma will be like that. And even something where, by all righteousness, so to speak, you should get a heavy punishment, your good karma can pull you through. And it will only be a little fine. So plenty of reasons to make good karma.
Ajahn, is karma like cause and effect, or is it something else?
It's definitely cause and effect, because everything is cause and effect, except Nibbana. Nibbana is the only thing that is beyond cause and effect. That is the one distinction. This is what you do in your meditation. You distinguish anything that is connected with causes and effects is not Nibbana, so you have to let go. The thoughts are cause and effect. Emotions, feelings, sense impressions, everything cause and effect. And if the heart can totally let go of everything that is based on causes and effects, then it will experience what is beyond causes and effects, the unconditional, so to speak, namely Nibbana. But karma, for sure, that is within the realm of causes and effects, and one of the most prominent and obvious manifestations of the causes and results connection. Yeah. And it's personal. There's no collective karma. If say your nation is committing atrocities, but you are really opposed to that, you're not supporting it, you're not participating, you're not even mentally agreeing with it or liking it or anything like that, then you wouldn't have any karma. The same with a family or same with any community. The karma is ultimately with the individual. However, if other people do something bad and you mentally delight in it and you mentally support it, then you start making karma. But it's an individual cause and effect. Why are you asking? You have some particular thing in mind?
Well, I'm training, because he's repeating anger or whatever. So I can see if I don't get control of his thoughts, I'll come back in the next lifetime if I haven't.
Yeah, you come back in the next lifetime if you haven't reached Nibbana. But it's not so easy to reach full Nibbana, but the more fundamental thing would be to come back in good circumstance. That is maybe the first goal before we hope to not come back at all. And anger can easily cause us to make bad karma. And then the result of that is a bad rebirth. So the first aim would be to have a good rebirth. And then the higher aim, the ultimate aim, is no rebirth at all. The problem with the cause and effect by karma is that it can be a long, long time gap between causes and results. if it was immediate, no one would make bad karma. It's just like touching the stove top when it's on and hot. The people will immediately pull back. In that sense, with karma, it's often more like, say, you're smoking and all is fine, and then you may get lung cancer 40 years later. Or like here in Australia, many people, when they get their skin cancer in their 50s or 60s, that may be from when they were little kids and playing in the sun and they didn't even know yet. This is much more difficult to see. You do something bad for your health now, but no immediate effect. But then 50 years later you had cancer. That kind of causal relationship is obviously much more difficult. And with karma, and there's some effects of karma, many, and it may kick in only in the next life. So that's very difficult to see. Because usually we can't remember our past life. So this is why it can appear like what's happening to me is just fortuitous or unlucky, or I have no idea where it comes from. Because I can't remember in that past life. This is why we are so fortunate that we had the Buddha, who can oversee. The Buddha has this unique ability that he can see in every detail of karma when he puts his mind onto it. And sometimes it can come from several lifetimes back. So in a sense, we have to operate there with quite a bit of conviction and faith and confidence in the Buddha's teaching. Because not all of that we can easily oversee. Similar like we are maybe quitting smoking, although if you moderately smoke and you're young, you may not notice any adverse effect. And in fact, it feels quite nice to get the nicotine in your system. But you may still quit smoking out of faith in doctors and medical science, which has clearly established that there's a causal connection. Yeah, but the tricky one is the time gap.
And then is it like a butterfly effect? In physics, they say like a butterfly wing, dying or something, or fluttering its wings to cause a cyclone.
Yeah, I think that one is meant to show it's an unstable system. It's called an unstable system. Sometimes when you have only a tiny modification of your input, you may get a totally different outcome in the end if it's a chaotic system. I think from chaos theory, in many situations, if I switch the aircon a little bit higher, then it gets a little bit cooler. So you have a little bit of an input, and then you have got a little bit of a result. But in these chaotic systems, just a tiny change in input may lead over some time to a completely different result. I think that is a simile for that one. In a sense, that can also be true. For example, if you change your basic view, your conviction, that may look like not a big thing. For example, you never heard of karma, or you didn't believe in it, and then something happens, or some inspiring book you read, or inspiring teacher, and now suddenly you are convinced that karma is actually real. And this is only a small thing, or not such a big thing, but it may completely change your whole outlook and all your actions and behaviors. So too, sometimes only a small change can produce a huge difference. But I think in terms of karma action I do, and then the result I will receive, I think that is less chaotic. That is usually quite clearly related. But sometimes it's little things which can make a big difference. One of the Western monks, I think he's still ordained, quite senior now, he encountered Buddhism when he was in a library, and one Buddhist book literally fell onto his head. He's not even quite sure how that happened. He was fiddling around. Suddenly this one book fell onto his head, and then hurt a little bit, and then obviously he looked, and this is a book which got him into Buddhism, and then later he ordained. So there's a little bit like this, and the butterfly wing in South America, and then we get the cyclone here in Queensland. So I don't know what happened then, but by some accident this book fell into his head, and then his life ultimately completely changed. So one shouldn't underestimate the input we can have on other people. Sometimes certain actions from us, or certain things we share, certain acts of kindness can have a huge impact. Another thing which can happen, the Buddha even talked about that, you sometimes see people who are doing really, really bad things, but they seem to have all the luck. They're rich, famous, successful. They continuously succeed in evading any opponents, they evade any justice, and so on. And then sometimes our faith in karma may diminish. Or you experience, you witness yourself, or you see someone who seems to be in a very good person and they're doing all these good things, and then also so much misfortune hits them. Again, and the problem there is the long gap. For the person who appears so lucky, and at the same time they're doing all these evil actions and atrocities, the result of these evil actions hasn't come yet. It may come only next life and may even impact them 100 lifetimes later. So you don't see it really. On the other hand, they may have done good things in a past life. And it's possible sometimes when you're rich, and in particular if you are having faith in some life, in the Buddha and the Sangha and so on, you can make tremendous amounts of good karma which may sustain you for lifetimes. And then over lifetimes they gradually change and became a bad person, and they're acting so bad now, but this karma is so powerful, it's still affecting them. And so it's important to be aware of that. Similar, the person who looks very unlucky, although they are so good-hearted, that's the opposite. The good karma they're doing now, and that's not yet really kicking in. And some bad karma from lifetimes before is not coming to fruition. The Buddha pointed out it can even happen that people with psychic power come to wrong conclusions, because you may see a very bad person, and then they die, and then they have a fortunate rebirth. And the Buddha said that even that can happen in extreme circumstance, because despite the bad things they did in this life, they may have still so much good karma from the past that it still got them into a good rebirth. Of course, the bad karma will catch up at some stage. There's an interesting example, never even with psychic powers, you may still get something wrong. What I like, if we truly have conviction in the efficacy of karma, this is enough to change us dramatically. Just that conviction. It's not necessarily easy to move from being an egotistic person to being a really selfless, kind person. But the nice thing is, if you're assuming, even if I'm totally egotistic, but I'm really convinced of the efficacy of karma, I will still act like a very decent person and be generous and kind, just out of self-interest. The fascinating thing about karma, you can harness your self-interest to be a good person. I really like that. Because it's not so easy to give up egoism. But if we truly believe in karma, then we will be good to others, just out of pure egoistic self-interest, because it's good for us. It also feels good straight away, usually. That is one thing which can give us some more faith. Unless you have amazing psychic powers, these long-term karmic causes and effects you can't oversee directly because of this big gap. But there's also an immediate effect of karma, which is going into your mind right now, how you feel. And that is much more immediate, and that one can really check out. And this is something that we don't have to take the word of the Buddha on faith. We can just check it out. In particular with good karma, just doing something good and doing that mindfully, and then just checking what does it feel like if I've done something good. It usually feels pretty good. Feels pretty good. I wouldn't recommend trying out what it feels doing really bad things, but you may be able to recollect from the past when you did something which was bad. And even now when you remember it, it may still feel bad. As if you remember your good actions, this is usually quite uplifting. And I think this is really important, because otherwise, with this big gap till the karmic results really come to fruition, we may be lacking faith otherwise, we would have to take that just on the Buddha's word. But fortunately, this mental effect is quite immediate, and we can try it out. The arising of the angry thought is obviously a negative. The abandoning of the angry thought is positive. It's good karma to abandon the angry thought. It's a kind of bad karma for the angry thought to come up, but if it doesn't go any further, in particular if it doesn't come out into speech or action, and if you do not internally assert or delight in that angry thought, then the karmic effect is very negligible. Whereas the karmic effect of overcoming it, I think, is not quite negligible, it's quite something. Yeah. Particularly if we can let go of it. Yeah. Okay, see you next time.